Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, and this is the part where we open our lines up when we are live on WJR or when we go to the email bag and answer some questions that people have. Ed Rudell is our and Gary Baker are here to help answer some questions that have been posed to us by email, and that's how we're going to focus this next hour, getting some answers for you to your problems. Well, Ed, I don't know if it's fair to do this to you on your birthday, which it is today, but...
Sure it is. It's fair.
We're going to get you...
Things always break, Foster. Things always need to be
That's
fixed.
That's right. And one of the people who rejoices when things break, not because they're broken, because he gets to fix them, is Ed Rudell, who is one of our tech experts. And Gary, of course, has been around helping people for a long time as well.
Wait a minute. I got to ask. Ed, rejoice? I don't think so, right?
You know, I look forward to the challenge, but if it's something that it's like, this is, you know, come on, this is so ridiculous. You know, you didn't have antivirus software,
yes.
You know, and then now I have to spend hours.
So what did you expect, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, if they didn't have it, what did they expect?
Yeah, right.
But as the Penguins would say, smile and wave.
Yeah.
Just smile and wave.
But every once in a while, we get some really good ones.
Yes, and, we do. And We have to commend our listeners who have fought through our technical difficulties, and I want to thank my granddaughter, Logan Stanifer, who helped Ed with this. But the two of you got our contact form working on our homepage.
Yes, you know, and we were struggling trying to figure out what was going on, and then when Logan and I put our heads together, we actually discovered that a subscription to an add-on to our WordPress was actually... expired, or the password changed, or we needed to renew a description. So then her and I went on a quest to try to find a replacement add-on that would allow our contact forms to work, and she pretty much got it working at that point once we identified what the real problem was. Right. And it seems to work well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've had...
And a lot of it we got done through watching YouTube videos of all things where people provide step-by-step instructions on how to... how add-ons. How do I get WordPress working, and how do I make my contact page working? How do you get your Visa payment system working through a WordPress website? All that stuff like that. Not that we have a Visa, you know, or a MasterCard on our website, but there's just so many tutorials on YouTube.
That's been a very rich resource, I think, and that has changed over the years as we've been working on this.
Well, as more and more content's up there, you can find just about anything you want to do. Yeah.
Now, there are some spoof stuff out there where people...
So you got to be careful.
You got to be careful. So check your sources. You know, make sure there's more than one YouTube video of someone saying to do this. You know, because I found some people that were, you know, that is absolutely wrong. That is not what you want to do. You know,
how do you save yourself from that?
And you don't really know
how
if that's done intentionally or not. It doesn't seem so, right? They just didn't know better.
They didn't know better.
And they were trying to help. They just didn't help in the right way. Right.
So how do you sift through that?
But there's some YouTube videos out there that were basically instructing people on how to drill a hole in your iPhone 7 to get an audio jack. And people were, if they measured, and it was very professionally done, and it looked like... That it was legit because
on April Fool's Day. What?
It was on a couple days after the iPhone 7 was released, and they put the video out there, and they provided measurements, and they basically claimed that Apple actually had the audio jack still there, but you just have to drill the hole.
Oh my goodness!
Through there, so you get access to it, and people did it and destroyed.
That's just mean.
Isn't that mean?
And that is mean.
Buyer beware, but watcher beware.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
But beyond, in some ways, that's kind of obvious.
Yeah, that's overboard, yeah.
But how else do you determine who's worth listening to?
Well, what I've done is when I find a video, usually on the right-hand column of YouTube, there are similar sources, similar topics.
And sometimes there are multiple videos by the same person.
Yes.
And so that's one indication.
Okay. Good point.
You know, and then it tells you how many people have actually viewed it.
The comment section, too.
And there's a comment section on it as well. Okay.
And so that also will help. But you know, it's not one thing. It's a combination of things.
And it's
more and more comfortable.
Sometimes I've read the comments, and some people would say, you don't know what you're talking about. And other people were just full of accolades. Thank you so much for putting this out there. So
that's all
before they tried it.
Yeah. No, after they tried, they said this worked. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You know, so that's good.
That's the kind of thing that, I wanted to get back to this because we're going to be talking about YouTube videos as you go on, talking about some of the answers that we've gotten for people, that you've gotten for people this past week. But it's important, folks, that it's kind of like the question that's come up, how do we know what news sources are valuable? You've just got to look around, and part of it is just, you know, check the sources out. As you said, Gary, what are the reviews on it? How many people have done that and have said it worked for me? Mm-hmm. How many views has it had? And are there other videos that person has done that have been received by people? So don't just take the first one you hear about, folks, but really do a little background investigation on it. And when you've done that, then feel free to dive in. And I know, Ed, that one of the first people that we're going to talk about today is Ms. G. She sent you an email that was about her PC DVD drive. Message body, it says here. Dear Internet Advisors, recently something occurred on my desktop PC, an HP Pavilion 20, that's prohibiting my CD DVD drive from playing. That's equally strange. What's equally strange is it doesn't even show up in the control panel. Needless to say, I'm quite perplexed. This has not happened on any of my previous desktop PCs or laptops that I've owned. If it helps to know, my PC is a Windows 8.1 and is a little more than 2 years old. Whatever advice you can offer me would be much appreciated. Thank you in advance. Ms. G, an avid fan of the Internet Advisor Show. And we're going to get back to see what Ed has to say about getting some answers there, but that's the kind of questions coming to us through our Contact Us form, and we would love to answer questions for you when you put them in there as well. Back in just a moment to find out how Ed answered Ms. G's question. You know, Gary, this weekend, or last week, I should say, Mike Brennan invited me to be one of his guests on his M Squared TechCast, and Matt Rausch asked me to kind of retell the story of the Internet Advisor. And I was talking about the fact that you had really began as my having problems with my computer.
That's right.
And getting in touch with you as the person who was in charge of my ISP at the time, which was BizSurf.
Online tech, pardon me.
Yep. Online tech. And that gave us kind of the rationale for what we do with our program, which is the first hour is focused on talking about, like, for instance, Wixom attracting the Uber investment, or the Michigan Humane Society and humanesociety.org being a great resource for people who are pet owners. You know, it talks about the digital resources that are out there for us and things like that going on in the world of technology. But the second hour, we have always wanted to focus on helping people with
their
problems.
Right. Yep.
As you helped me with mine.
And if you'll recall, you started talking to our help desk, and they ran through all the typical problems that that there was, and they said there should be no reason that we can't get you on. They needed to get off and talk to some other customers, so then I took over and worked with you, and we found that it was a very low-tech problem,
yes,
if you recall, and I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But it was squirrels.
It was squirrels.
Eating the insulation off of your telephone line. It didn't bother the telephone signal,
right,
but it bothered the modem signal.
You'll love this. Matt Rausch just had the same thing happen to him 20 years later.
Yeah, it's you know, those squirrels, they still like that insulation.
They love that insulation.
It happens this time of year, too, right?
Yeah, so. I think that they said that the problem was squirrel chew. At that point, Mike Brennan chimed in and says, oh, yeah, that little pouch that they carry with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cute. Very cute. Well, you know, back when we solved that problem, nobody else had thought of that. Right?
Nope.
Now it happens, right? It happens enough times that
unfortunately,
and there's lore out there, but this was very early days of the Internet.
It's still happening. Anyway, we have our first question that was presented to us on the email, and I won't go through the whole thing again, but basically, Miss G called you, wrote to you, Ed, and we passed the information on to you, that her PC she has is running Windows 8.1, two-year-old machine, and suddenly the CD DVD drive just disappeared. Couldn't find it.
And this is a problem that's been going back since Windows XP, where the drive letter disappears. It's no longer located in my computer. The unit no longer plays music or video. And the fix has usually always been the same. And it requires you to go into the Windows registry using regedit and modify and delete a key or two.
Wow, that's pretty hairy for most people, isn't it? We used to tell people, don't do this.
Well, right. If your drive disappeared, I'd just like lean over and look at the side, look at the side of your computer, you know?
That's true. The drive is actually still there. The drawer opens and closes, but you just, Windows, the software operating system, no longer sees it. And I searched the Microsoft Mr. Fix-It articles and all the utilities, and Microsoft, I could not locate a Mr. Fix-It, even though this problem has been out there for a while.
They should have something, yeah.
You would think. But I did find you two YouTube videos that described the two different fixes that will correct this, and they go step by step into the process. They speak very good English. So one of them is British, and the other one is American. So sometimes you have a difficult time.
Yes.
And sometimes it's like in Russia. Oh, my goodness. So sometimes you watch YouTube videos, and they actually type the information because they know their accent may not be that understandable. But when they type the messages on the screen, everything's there right there for you. But these two YouTube videos are very good. You have to go into the Windows registry under the current control set and remove a key. And when you reboot your computer, Windows will rediscover the DVD drives, and everything should be fine.
Okay, but you do have to make that change. It's not just a matter of rebooting.
But usually watching someone do it in the video, and they explain step by step, hopefully it shouldn't be that intimidating.
Okay, and then what happens after that is that it will come back to you, right?
Yeah, after you reboot your computer. And it's just I call it a glitch in the network or a glitch in the matrix. It happens. I don't know what causes it. I'm not sure what causes
it. But you know how to fix it.
I know how to fix it, and I've run across a dozen computers that have had this problem, including my own personal one. And when I was running not only Windows XP, but when I was running Windows 7, the same thing happened.
You know, that's how we end up learning how to solve these problems, as most of them have happened to us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Jenny ran into something recently with her Windows 10 machine that I wonder if it's a reflection of this, that suddenly her, you know, my desktop disappeared when she was looking at the files, you know, when you bring up your
Explorer window.
Yeah, and it disappeared. I don't know why. She couldn't find it because I had deliberately have her put some files on her desktop.
Oh, so the actual desktop shortcut in the Explorer window was gone.
And the icon is gone.
And usually if you just expand your favorites or your My Computer, it will show up underneath the links. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife didn't come over to your house because that's usually what happens to her, right? She goes, it's gone, I can't find it.
Exactly. I heard her muttering to herself, and then the muttering got louder.
Like, where did it go, right?
Come on, I can't find it. Come back.
You know, a lot of times you could just type into the search bar, downloads, desktop, favorites. You could type that into your search bar or your Cortana. Mm-hmm. Window, and it'll bring
that's
up
the one
the
with Windows 10. That's the one on the bottom of left.
Yeah,
that kind of large space down there. You can type that in.
You could type that in, or you could say Explorer or My Desktop or My Favorites or My Downloads, and it'll open up the Explorer window for you. Or if you're in Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, you could just type into the search window. You can say Desktop, and it'll open up an Explorer window.
Mm, okay. So, but with Windows 10 going into that search bar. Box.
Yeah, and where the Cortana is, you can either type it or you can right mouse click on the start menu and select search as well and type it. I'm not sure why if the icon is just minimized and you're not seeing it, or it's truly gone.
The poor thing.
Have her write me an email.
Okay. All right. Sorry, your husband can't help you. Try my buddy Ed. He can help you. All right, let's talk about another question that came in. This was from Paul, and the subject was email security message body. He says, we've all heard about Yahoo being hacked and having to change our passwords, but Yahoo and Gmail offer a service where instead of a password, they send a message to your cell phone and you respond to that. Sounds good, but is it really? If whoever hacks the email server again, don't they now have your telephone number in addition to all of the other info? Is this idea really secure? I'm ready to dump the whole password routine except for this one doubt. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I went to the FAFSA, the government website for FAFSA and student loans, and I had to authenticate the same way. So I type in my user ID and password. They said it's been over 12 months. So the federal government now is enforcing resetting your password at least every 6 to 12 months. And they had to send a text message to my cell phone. It was a 8-digit numeric number. And mm-hmm. then when I went to the website, I verified that it was me and it allowed me to change my password. Even though I knew my old password, they sent me the text message.
Right.
So this is a very common technique for two-step authentication, right?
And to make sure people change their password and not to use, that doesn't guarantee that you won't use the same password for a number of sites, but you shouldn't do that either.
Right.
And they're just trying, this is good that the government is finally getting on board. Until we get rid of passwords, which mm-hmm. is coming. It's just going to come very slowly.
I kind of hope it comes quickly because I have a terrible time with it.
Me too. But, until we get rid of passwords, we've got to keep doing some things that increase the password health.
Yeah. Right. And
this is one of them. And thank you, federal government, for doing it.
Mm.
Yep. Right? Of us.
And so that's one way of using the numeric or sending your phone a text. What the listener was talking about is he's afraid that if his information was hacked, that someone has a cell phone number. You're the one with the cell phone. It's only going to go to you, right? To your cell phone number.
True.
So if someone has your, it's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Nothing they can do unless they clone your cell phone, and that doesn't happen except
happen.
In the movies.
Yeah. That's right. In the movies.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about passwords and what you use to secure your passwords. That's coming back on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and what we're doing is answering some questions that have been sent to us via email. And by the way, if you're listening to us in Lansing or Grand Rapids or wherever you may be listening to us, maybe out of state, we'd love to hear from you. And please don't hesitate to use that form. It's, if you go to internetadvisor.net, on the top on the menu bar there, you'll see a Contact Us form. Just click on that. And then also, I have to say that on our, when we publish our website, pardon me, our blog post, which I'll be doing on Monday morning, you will find that there are plenty of places on there that you can use to contact us as well with your questions. And Ed always sinks his teeth into them. Shane can help with this sometimes. And Gary and Cal and myself do our best. But Ed is the one who is very often leading the charge with this. And thank you so much for that. Happy birthday to you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, we had a number of Facebook posts on this as well.
Oh.
But we had Rick Broider in here, our gadget guy and cheapskate. And he went to the Consumer Electronics Show.
That's right.
And one of the things he brought back, and it wasn't that he saw this at the Consumer Electronics Show. He actually had it several months earlier. We took a video of it, posted on our Facebook.
That's right.
For the Internet Advisor. And we had a lot of people asking, what was the model number of that? Because they heard our live broadcast last
That's
week.
Right.
And the manufacturer was by JJRC. And the model number was H37. And it was an unfoldable, flyable drone for your phone. So it would take a picture of you is what we were discussing.
Yeah, exactly. And it was incredibly light. And there was a little video that we posted. You can go to our Facebook page on the Internet Advisor Facebook page. And the little video is there. It's only about 10 seconds long. But you can see it is just so cute. And, it's not for flying outside. It's so light that it wouldn't be any good
and
if there was a bit of breeze.
Inexpensive. It was 50 or 60 bucks.
Oh, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, when the very first time that Rick Broida published the article about it, it was only $39.
Yeah.
But it looks like a lot of fun. Matter of fact, one person said, no way that cost 50 bucks. Yep.
Yep.
Way. And again, it's a drone. What's it called?
The selfie drone?
Yeah, was it the selfie? Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, that was what I what
was. Was
it
a selfie drone? Okay.
I don't know if it was by who makes it, but it was called the selfie
drone. Yeah, it was okay. JJRC is the manufacturer.
JJRC was the company that makes it, and the model is the H37. Anyway, there you go. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's see. Oh, Paul asked that question about security, and I was going to ask you what you guys use to secure your passwords. Has that changed recently?
Sticky notes?
Yeah, just put it
I
on.
I still have a few of them around. You're right.
Yeah, put it right there on the monitor. The monitor. Stick it right there on the side so it doesn't cover up anything.
How do I secure my passwords? I lock my phone, and I have a contact in my phone that a made-up person out of the 600 people in there.
Uh-huh.
I have, you know, John Doe, but it's really not John Doe. And I have a list of the accounts, but the passwords are not in there, but I have clues to my passwords.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
So nothing is revealed in there except hints.
But you're
that's what I do on my locked phone.
And you're still creating your own passwords, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. How do you generate passwords?
So, there's password vaults, so you could use password one, you could use a number of the vaults, and there have only been a few of them that have been hacked. And we haven't heard much about what happens when they were hacked, like, you know, that other people had really... So I'm not sure how much information was really gotten by whoever did hack into them. But so most of those are pretty good. I pick a couple that were, highly rated. And
yeah,
those are what I would do.
I use LastPass.
Yeah, I'd do something slightly different than that, but I'm not going to talk about it on the air.
I mean, because it's ridiculous the number of... Yeah. I must have 60...
Easily.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, the number of passwords.
And you don't want to use the same password.
Oh, no.
Well,
that's exactly.
If they break into one site and they get your password, they're going to try a whole bunch of other sites to see if they, you have an account there. And if you do, and they've got your password and username.
That's why I was interested, I shouldn't have been surprised, that you generate your own passwords.
Yeah.
Yeah, I trust the software to do that.
Oh, and I probably should too, but...
Well, it just happens to be the way it is. I figure you can get eight. You can tell it the number of characters. You can tell it if you want it to be pronounceable, etc.
Well, it varies so much. I mean, some sites actually will not allow me to create a password greater than 8 characters, which is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
And some of them I can do 16 characters, so that's fine too. I mean, and I can do a lot more than that. But
yeah, you can get crazy and do 24 if you want.
Well, and I use a passphrase a lot of the time now.
Mm-hmm.
So just the first letter of every word in that phrase.
Oh, I gotcha.
So it's real easy for me to remember it, first of all, and real easy for me to just as I go ahead and type it in, I just say the phrase or sing the phrase, whatever it is. and it usually has something to do with the
site. So if you hear Gary humming.
Yeah. Yep, I'm usually
catch the tune and you can crack the site.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, here's another question that came in, Ed. This one is from Jean. Thank you very much, Jean, for sending your question in. She said, I've been receiving calls stating that my computer is sending out signals that it has a virus. They offer to remove it for free. I deny them any attempt to help. Today,
smart woman.
Yeah. Today, I got a call, and I told them I had reported them to Microsoft and all over the internet. They said they would pull the plug on my computer, and at that moment, my computer shut off, as well as the electric in my home for the briefest second. So it just, went down for a second. Clock flashing, microwave clock is off. I called DTE then, and they showed no outage for me. And I think my smart meter, has been hacked. DTE says that can't happen. So I still have a big concern, and I don't know what to do. I used Kaspersky Total Security and did a full scan, which found nothing. Did a quick Defender scan and nothing. What do you think, Uncle Ed?
Wow, what did I say? I said basically that good thing that she did say no to those people and denied him access.
Absolutely. Smart
I'm
woman.
Really thinking it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
It has to be.
People always look for causality.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
Yeah. But and it is kind of.
It is a scary coincidence.
It is.
And,
yes.
And I probably would not go out of the house if I didn't have to the rest of the afternoon. only because there might be another coincidence and I would not gamble at all for the rest of the day.
And I think I also told her that if they call again and the same thing happens, document it, write the time down, and call the police. I mean, if someone has the ability remotely over the telephone that say, abracadabra, I'm shutting off your electricity because your thing's hacked.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
And if it did,
smart meter doesn't have access to the internet.
Right.
So it's not, they can't do, what they could do is somehow, if they're on the, you know, if they have some access to DTE, for instance,
mm-hmm.
but... You know, it's not likely.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, like, if you have a little nephew or niece that hates you and they want to scare you, they could be in the basement downstairs and flip that switch on you or something like that.
They could do that.
Well, let's talk. Just break this down for just a second, because this smart meter, I think the people do have the impression that it's connected to the internet.
No.
So that people can, if you will, backwards, work backwards on
the smart
home.
Meters work by, there's RF technology built into them.
Right.
So someone could pull into your driveway and from their driveway, 25 feet away, be able to retrieve the information off of it. And I believe, Gary, doesn't some of the signals just basically travel over the electrical lines for DTE, and that's how they get into it?
You know, it does for some utilities. I don't know if DTE uses that.
Right, and we can't say that for sure, because, yeah.
But there are some utilities around the country that do that.
Right.
This is probably the most aggressive that I've heard anybody get in terms of, you know, the phone calls. It's usually...
It really sounds like a movie, you know.
Yeah, it almost does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Only in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen in real life. Not unless you got a nephew in the basement, right?
Yeah, I was doing that.
And, so, Gene, I just thought of a great, you know, this prompted me to think of a great April Fool's Day joke.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, here's another one that we got, and it was about the person actually received a USB drive, right? And they wanted to, ordered a thumb drive from my organization with a few lessons on it. And I thought that it'd be nice to listen to these lessons on my tablet or cell phone, Android phone. My wife found a pigtail adapter called an OTG on the go cable that plugs into the bottom of the tablet or Android phone so they could plug the USB drive on into it.
Okay.
And I just purchased one of these for my son. It was really strange, just a week before this. And it allows you to then plug a flash drive into the bottom of your tablet, or Android phone, and I could stream movies on it. I can listen to audio. It works really good. So he basically said that it only worked once. And then why would that happen?
All right, and we will get back to the why of that in just a moment as Ed tackles, that's an interesting kind of a question, to see what is it that made that little dongle stop working after one use. Back with some answers for our listener in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. Let me acknowledge the folks behind the glass. Mike Parsons, thank you so much, is our engineer and producer here. And Logan Stanifer, thank you so much for answering the phones for us and producing the program as well. All right. Well, we, in the second hour, have been answering people's questions. And Ed, let's just quickly recap a question that came in from one of our listeners, Anthony, about this tab that he had, a thumb drive, that he had tried to plug into, let's see.
It was a tablet, and he had
that's right.
And he received a USB thumb drive.
Right.
And then he purchased what's known as an on-the-go cable,
mm-hmm.
Which allows you to take a standard USB and plug it into a micro USB on the bottom, like the charging port.
Right.
And it basically tricks the unit into thinking that you've connected another hard drive to it. And then, so he was playing the audio files that were on here,
mm-hmm.
and he said it worked once, and then it stopped working.
Hmm.
So my question to him basically was, take the thumb drive, not the question, my point that I made to him, is take that thumb drive and plug it into your Mac or your PC at home and see if you can access the files. What I suspect happened is that he paused or stopped the audio when he was done listening to it and unplugged the cable. And maybe he didn't close the application. So think of the problems of corrupting an audio file because you just unplugged it from the computer when it was playing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So, and I said, it's possible that the Android operating system, while it was reading it, you unplugged it. The file system became corrupted on the USB flash drive.
Yeah.
And see if you can actually plug it into these computers and see if it can read it. He tried that and he says, you're right. It doesn't. I can't read it anymore. It says, there's nothing on here. Would you like to format this flash drive?
Oh, okay.
And so he ordered another USB flash drive from them to listen to the audio. And he's next time he's going to actually... close the application.
Make a copy of it.
Very good, Gary. Thank you. I forgot about that. Yeah. Make a copy of the files. Drag them to his computer. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't suggest that.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I was thinking, what could cause this? You know, and it goes down to basic, just troubleshooting. Mm-hmm. Try plugging it into something else. If your monitor's not working on your
good point.
On your computer, desktop computer, try plugging another monitor in there and see if it works. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to suggest in the old days.
Absolutely.
Back in the old days, it was the, you know, you'd 20-pound monitor as large as a TV, but nowadays most people have laptops. So,
all right.
Same thing.
All right. Very good. All right. And we also had, our old friend Ben Carpenter called up with a question or sent us a question. He says, I have a computer here that does not, I don't run it every day, and it's shut off when it's not being used. Sometimes when it's brought back to life, I get a message that Malwarebytes and ABG are not up to date. After updating them, which run should I run first, or is it okay to run them both at the same time?
Wow. I'll have to recreate this because I don't remember answering this, but I believe, so of course the databases are going to be out of date because the computer shuts itself down.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of these databases update multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm. So That's true.
So if it's been several days since it's powered up, of course the databases are going to be out of date, and they're going to want to update as soon as your computer comes back.
That's right.
And
does it matter which order? He just shouldn't run them both at the same time.
He could probably run them both at the same time. It's really based on performance. If you're noticing a performance hit, or if you think, or you're getting error messages.
I was just going to say, they're both scanning files.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
You could get away with it. Probably 99 times out of 100.
Yeah, you probably could.
And then that 100th time, they'll hit the same file at the same time and corrupt it, and you'll go, why did I ever run both scans at the same time? I don't know.
That's true. That could possibly happen. Yeah. But
not likely, right? It's hard to believe that it would happen often.
Right. I'm just curious, which one? Security software do you guys run anymore?
I run the Windows Defender.
Yeah, which is built
in. Or Security
in.
Essentials on the Windows 7 system.
Okay.
And Malwarebytes. But I do not run Malwarebytes. I just run a scan once a week or if I suspect something.
Mm-hmm. So I do the same thing.
Okay, yeah. But you don't have anything that runs regularly all the time? Because, for instance, you can buy for $40 a year subscription to Malwarebytes, and it will constantly be running.
Protect you.
Yeah, it's proactively working at it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's actively running in the background and scanning anything that's coming in and out of your computer. And that's what antivirus software does too. So if I get free McAfee or if I have Microsoft Security Essentials, I mean, it's doing the same thing. Malwarebytes is basically an antivirus and anti-malware utility, and you can use it in place of or with any of the other antivirus programs. I just choose to run Defender and then use Malwarebytes as an alternate tool. Because we had several listeners that ask, I want to get this, and I have all these utilities running.
Yeah.
And they'll have five utilities running.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of my point, is it really important to have all these different things? Like Ben has got AVG along with Malwarebytes going.
I it's okay to have them both on your computers. It's okay to use them both. Maybe I'm just paranoid, but I wouldn't do it at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm wondering, along the lines of what you said, Ed, that people figure, we used to use the term belts and suspenders, by using belts and suspenders here.
And really good security is defense in depth, right? And it's same in the military, right? You have a number of different lines of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad strategy. If your first one's really good, you don't need much more than the second or the third one, but you don't need them all, maybe.
Well, and the other thing is we don't talk about firewalls anymore.
Right, exactly.
Because Windows has an integrated firewall that monitors incoming and outgoing anymore.
Yeah.
So that's almost a non-issue anymore. So that's always running in the background.
We don't need zone alarm.
Well, that's true.
How many times do we recommend zone alarm? If we go back to your toolbox,
before there was
sure
something better.
Alarms. Yeah.
Yeah, now there's something better.
I have to tell you, I saw an article this week that said that, in essence, that Microsoft's security protection that's built in to Windows Defender is so good that it don't that it caught some zero-day exploits without ever having updated in order to deal with them. And apparently...
Because it does... What's the term? The holistic or...
A heuristic.
Heuristic. Scans.
Yep. Yeah, it was close enough to something else that it had seen.
Exactly.
Right.
That it was able to do that. And that, folks, by the way, often, I know people have asked us if you're running a Windows 7 machine or if you're running a Windows 8.1 or Windows 10, do I need extra? No, most of the time, Microsoft has built some really sturdy...
just make sure it's turned on and used.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want a secure system, you really should be running Windows 10. Microsoft isn't putting as much of their... I mean, they're still patching Windows 7, but there's only so much they can do.
And Windows 10 is rewritten specifically for... to take care of a lot of the problems that they had in the earlier versions. That's why they're having trouble with, you know, compatibility. But Windows 10, you know, is a decent operating system, finally.
Mm-hmm. And they continue to update it.
And Microsoft's last operating system, they said, right?
Yep. That's right. Yeah, there won't be another one. They'll continue to update this one. Microsoft. I don't know why they even named it 10.
They just call it Windows.
Just Windows.
Yeah.
That may be the next step that they're going to be doing. But we still keep on getting the questions. Okay, one final question here. And I'm not sure whether you answered this one or not, Ed. It's from Yaro. And he says, I'm using an additional monitor with my laptop, connecting it over VGA. I've tried the connection over HDMI, but it didn't work. If new computer lack of VGA output is any kind of a trick... To connect over HDMI. In
other words, I basically told him that his current computer, probably the HDMI wasn't working properly.
Right.
And any new computer that he got, don't worry, the HDMI is going to work fine and your monitor will work fine. And that sometimes you do have to use the monitor to switch, you know, the type of input.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, those are some of the kind of questions that we have come in. Sometimes extensive, sometimes there's just a few words like that one there. We love hearing from you, and Ed does a great job of tackling along with Shane and Gary and myself and Cal. So please visit InternetAdvisor.net and use the Contact Us button. You'll also see it on our podcast as well. That gets you to us, and we get to those questions during the week. Glad to have had a chance to bring them out here on the weekend and air them for you as well. Stay tuned here on your station for more great programming, and we'll see you next week.